Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heard Women Heal. I am your host, Prophetess White. Please go with me to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, we just come before you, Father God, with so much thanksgiving in our heart, God. I just want to thank you, God, for allowing each and every one of us to live to see another day that was not promised to us. I thank you, God, that you made it possible, that we were able, Lord God, to have the ligaments of our bodies, that we're able, Lord God, to wake up, Lord God, with our minds steadfast on you. I ask right now, God, that you will allow this word, Father God, that you have given me, that you will allow it, Lord God, to not only saturate the people, but penetrate the people all the way down to the deepest part of their souls. I ask that your word not only fall on good ground, but that you will give the people an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying at this hour. I ask that you allow Kalisha to sit down and allow the Holy Spirit in me to stand up. I give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen and amen. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. God has given me a fresh word from heaven, and I want to get right into it. The topic that God gave me today is without excuse. Without excuse. Now, we don't want our children to give us any excuses on why they're not listening and doing what we told them to do. We don't want our husbands and our wives to give excuses on why they could not do what we asked and required of them. So why do we feel we can have so many excuses when it comes to God? I have never seen and witnessed in my day so much of the church being such a mockery. I have people that say they know God, but never spend fellowship and relationship with God, and will try to tell you what it is you need to do with God while they don't do nothing with God. I have people who say, I'm grown, don't tell me nothing, but when it comes to God, I'm a babe in Christ, I'm learning, he knows my heart. And so what happened is God gives us free choice and he gives us free will. And that's the beauty of having a relationship with God. He gives us an opportunity to choose. The thing about it is we can do whatever we want to do, but we are without excuse that we did not know better, nor can we decide what our consequences are going to be, especially when we disobey the word of God. And so this message is not just for people who are in the house of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women of the cloth, the fivefold ministry. This is for babes. These are for people who know of God and who choose to keep putting him on the back burner. This message is without excuse. This comes straight from heaven, and so allow me to give it to you the way God has given it to me. I'm going to take you to the word, and then I'm going to address a few things. And once I'm done, I believe that not only is God going to come down each and every one of our streets, but he's going to knock on our door, and it's up to us of whether or not we're going to allow him to come in. The first scriptures that I'll be going to is going to be Romans 10, 13 through 15, and I'm just going to read out of the King James Version. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them, peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Now I'm going to go over real quick to a familiar scripture. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then I'm going to end with Romans 1, 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I wanted to read the word, because I know I have some scholars that tune in, and I wanted to make sure that I give the word and also give what God is giving me. I first want to talk about church hurt. I hear so many people use this excuse about how they're not coming to church no more because the church has hurt them. Well, I understand, because I used to be on that other side of the coin. But you know what? My husband has hurt me before, but I'm still with him. My children have hurt me before, but I still love them. My parents have hurt me, but I still love them. I still honor them. Work places have hurt me, but I still go. I still work. But how come it comes when it's the house of God that we so hurt and bothered we can just never return again? But any other relationship that we have hurt us, and we still choose to be in it. It's not God that hurts us. It's sometimes the people in the house of God. And sometimes it's because we're so caught up in our feelings. We're looking for something to hurt us. We're looking for the person not to speak to us. We're looking for the word that comes across the pulpit to hit us all the time. See, I knew what you're preaching on me. No. Oftentimes, that's just the word that God gives us, because that means there's sin in the camp. And if there's sin in the camp, it means it needs to be dealt with. Let me tell you, we are never going to just fully embrace when the men and women of God have to get up and preach a hard word. We're not going to embrace that, because flesh don't want to hear truth. Flesh wants to do what flesh wants to do. But the fivefold ministry, the men and women of God, the men and women of the cloth, we've been called, we have a mandate on our life. And it's not just Sundays at church and a day during the week for Bible study and maybe a prayer, but this is our lifestyle. This is what God has called us to do. And so we have to do it whether we hurt or not. I hear people all the time talking about how the church done hurt them. As pastors, we get hurt a lot by the church too. And we still have to come in to preach this word. And we still have to live this word. And we still have to love. And we still have to intercede, because that's what God requires. We are so caught up in our feelings. I don't like the way I feel, something feeling. Feeling is temporary. You cannot go off of feelings and make it in this walk. We discredit so often the men and women of God. We will say, well, I would do this and I would do that. And you know what? They shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that. And you know what? If God just talking to them, God talked to me too. He talking to y'all too, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron? See, that's the problem. We want the anointing. We want the positions. We want the title, but we don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to give up nothing. We don't want to endure no hardship. See, and oftentimes we are always looking at the men and women of God in the glory state, but we don't know behind the scenes. We don't know the midnight times. We don't know the fasting and praying. We don't know the lonely walk. We don't know the pillows soaked on both sides. All we see is God using them as an instrument for Christ, supposed to uphold the men and women of God's arms. we sit there and we start putting a target on their back as well. And behind closed doors, we start critiquing, we start murmuring and complaining, we start whining, and we start tearing down the men and women of God, the ones who did voluntarily and said, "Here I am, send me," Isaiah 6:8. "I'll go, God. I'll do it, Lord. God, I'll save the lost no matter the cost. God, I'll turn my plate down. God, I'll preach your word. God, I'll stay pure. I'll stay holy. I'll stay sanctified. I'll be Holy Ghost filled." We said yes, and I have not seen so much in my time as how the church and how people on the outside as well as the inside make such a mockery of the house of God. I see family. I see friends. I see coworkers. I see people who got one foot in with church and one foot out even try to be stumbling blocks to the men and women of God. If you want to have your wine and you want to drink your beer, you want to smoke your weed and you want to smoke your cigarette, if God doesn't convict you, I'm not going to convict you either. But certain conversations I don't desire to engage in, because there's certain things that God delivered me from, and there's certain things that I just choose not to want to go into. Now, if you need help in that area and you want me to deliver you and help you deliver through God and help you get out of the situation that you're in, by all means. But if it's just to be a stumbling block, if it's just to be making a mockery, if it's just to tease, then shame on you. Let me tell everyone something. We have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. We will give an account. We will give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, for every lie that we have spoken, for every time we try to bring discord, for every time we bring strife, jealousy and envy and backbiting and whispering. We are going to give an account for these things. And God is saying it should not be in the house of God. If you have a problem with the man or woman of God, if they have preached a word that has hurt your feelings, before you decide to go run your mouth and tear them out where you got to come back and repent, make sure first anything in which they said, if it's truth, and truth is the word of God. I truly believe there's some of us that's really doing it right. I truly believe there are some of us that God is still being able to use in this day. I truly believe there are some of us that truly worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not form and fashion. It's not just so I can check it off and say I went to church today. You don't go to church for 2 months and you go one day and everybody's supposed to be excited. But I guarantee you, you go to work every day you're supposed to. God is the only place that we flip-flop, and then we say God knows our heart, and he does. We are without excuse because we have every form, whether it be the radio, whether it be the television, whether it be somebody in your household, whether it be family members, whether it be literature. We have so much to tell us about God and the ways of God and how God wants us to be. But we make so many excuses of why we do the things that we do. I know we all have a story. I know we all have gone through some things horrific and hurt. And then there's some of us that could not go through what a lot of us went through, or it might have killed you. And so it's not because we've done something so wrong that storms and things hit. It's because we have to show a dying world how we have to still stand no matter what comes my way, no matter what the doctor report says, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, I still say I will not compromise the word of God. For God I live and for God I die. And when I say I die for God, that means that I have to die to this flesh. That means that I have to sit Kalisha down and, you know, it's nothing more greater than being able to look at the person in the mirror and saying, you know what, God still needs to deal with you. You need to eat. You know what, that ain't right. What fruit of the Spirit is that? We don't do that. We got a word for everybody but ourselves. We can tell you about everybody and what they need to do and how they need to clean their house and all the problems that they got, but we never take the time to look at ourselves. We never see what we got going on. We got a lot of nasty attitudes. We got a lot of bitterness. We got a lot of resentful. We got a lot of anger. We got a lot of spoiledness. And let me tell you something, anything spoiled stinks. Nobody drinks spoiled milk. They throw it out. We got a lot of, I feel I have a right to. We want God to move mountains and do all kinds of things for us, but we don't take the time to really get in right fellowship with him. We don't try to obey none of what we have been taught. We don't try to obey none of what the men and women of God tell us. All we are to do, the Bible says, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. The mandate on my life requires me to be about my Father's business, no matter what. I've made a vow to God that I belong to him. I made a vow to God that I won't allow myself to go and do things that I know God has delivered me and set me free from. I made a vow to God that if I can, God, if it's just one, I'll preach, I'll teach as if it was 1,000, as if it was masses, God, I'll do it. And so I choose to live a life holy. I choose to live a life separated, consecrated, dedicated unto God. And the only people who have a problem with someone living a holy life is someone who is not living a holy life. We have a dying, sick world, even within our own family, and nobody is standing up and really telling people about God and how he can save you and how the path you're going on is not the right one. Because we don't want to offend. We can't offend too many people in the church because a lot of the pastors, they really depend on the people to pay their tithes and their offering. And so I got to preach a feel-good message. I can't preach the word of God that he's given me because if I try to give this word too harsh, then people might start leaving. Go. If you have to go, go. Because I don't want nobody to stay because of me anyway. I want it to be because of God. And I have to give this word no matter who feels comfortable in it or not. And the problem is we've left the reverence and fear in the house of God. We come in any kind of way now. We think we're cute. We offer up just any old thing. But our heart is far from it because as soon as church is over, we're right back to doing the things of the world all over again. We're right back into our sinning, and we say, God knows my heart. But we are without excuse today. God said judgment has come to the house of God. And we are without excuse. And we keep trying to make excuse and we water this word down and we try to let the people like us and we try and we are going to be held accountable for not telling people what thus saith the Lord. God has called the fivefold ministry to help the church, not for the church to beat them up. God has called the fivefold ministry to bring edification, to bring direction, to bring wisdom and knowledge, healing, to set free, to deliver. That's what God called us to do. And everybody's on different levels in the house of God. So God always gives a teacher in the fivefold ministry that has the ability to break the word down where the youngest and the eldest will be able to comprehend it. It's a sad thing when you done been to church so long and the church ain't never gotten you. God's word says he will not always strive with man. He's not going to always, we have to have that word on our hearts. When something comes up to us and it challenges us, the first thing we do is go to feelings. We can cuss somebody out real good. We can talk somebody down real good. But do you have the word of God? Can you go into warfare with the word of God? Because that's the only way the devil will get off your back. You have to know this word. You have to live this word. And then you have to apply this word. God is saying to the men and women of God, get back on your post. Stop watering this word down. We are watching people in our family. We are watching people in the house of God. We are watching people on our jobs. We are watching friends. We are watching men and women of God fall. And nobody is trying to help because we don't want to offend. It's none of our business. I don't want to. What if this person? Am I not my brother and sister's keeper? We are to remind ourselves of how somebody prayed us in. We are to remind ourselves when we was in worship with God, how we fell to our knees and we said, yes, God. We have to remind ourselves that God has given us a word for a dying world, and we are without excuse. Get so busy doing so many things. And you never take the time to do inventory on yourself. I do not want to miss the mark. I do not know what the end looks like, but I got a mind made up to go all the way with God. And in order to go all the way with God, that means something had to be denied. And I had to deny myself. I had to deny this flesh. I had to have my world align with God. And I had to ask God to help me take on the characteristics of you. So when the people see me, I want them to see God. You don't have to like me. I understand that. A lot of people can't like. It's not because I've done anything to you. It's not because you really got a problem with me. But it's because you know I stand for truth. You know I'm the real thing. And oftentimes when we've been around fake and we've been around knockoffs, when the real thing comes along, we make an excuse on why we don't. And we try to pull apart that person and we try to critique that person. And sometimes you're guilty by association and you try to tell somebody else not to like somebody else. And it's all because of the truth. It's because of the God that lives on the inside of me, no more, no less. But even to those people, I still love you, and I am concerned about your soul. I'm not concerned about the offenses. I'm not concerned about what we do. I'm concerned about where are you going to spend eternity. We want big churches. We want big choirs. We want big vans, and we want all these things, and that's wonderful. But I don't want a big church full of devils. I want people to live this life of holiness. I want worship to be a lifestyle that when we open up our mouths, people say, it's something about you. It's something that I know I need. I don't know what it is, but what is it? And then we are able to minister and tell them, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. So, yeah, the fame is great. The wealth is great. The crowds are great. But at the end of the day, if I don't have Jesus, I don't have anything. I do not know why God has given me such a word, but I have to be obedient to what he said. He's saying it's time to bring reverence and fear back into the house of God. And it starts with the fivefold ministry. It starts with leadership. If you don't have fear and reverence for God, how is others supposed to follow? If we do just whatever we want, others are going to do whatever they want. It's time that we stop playing church, and it's time that we become the church. I hear God saying, the time is now. Time is winding down, and we are without excuse. Pay attention to the seasons and the time. God is coming back sooner than we think. We are without excuse. Let me ask this question to you. Our children are someone who are usually pretty honest, especially if you have a pretty good relationship with them, right? How often do your children see you praying in your word, carrying the characteristics of God? Can they say, my mom and dad do that? We are looking so much for leaders nowadays. Why can't we be the example for our own children? Why can't we get this right first with self and then try to help somebody else? God said we are without excuse. Be careful of how you treat the men and women of God. Be careful of your thoughts and what you allow to come out your mouth. God said you will be held accountable. You are without excuse. Thank you for tuning in. I bless God for the word. Whew. I thank him for giving me the opportunity one more time to come before his people. I ask that we allow this word to search us all. If nobody else tells you today, God loves you and so do I. I am your host, Prophetess White, and I'm signing out. God bless.